No.
So we have nothing to say.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Acme Smoked Fish, located in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Acme has been a mainstay in New York's culinary landscape for over 55 years, using old world recipes. Acme produces the finest smoked salmon, whitefish, sable that discerning palates demand. For more information, go to www.acmesmokedfish.com. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchens of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking jerky and what's organic about organic. Any listeners that are listening live, we have a live call-in number. Our number is 718-497-2128. Jerk is a dance. Jerk is a guy that we hate. But jerky is my love. In the studio, I am joined by the creators of Kings County Jerky, Chris and Robert. Welcome to Hot Grease. Why do I want to keep calling you Mark? I know why, but anyway, welcome to Hot Grease, guys.
Hi, thanks, Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole.
So, growing up, I hated jerky. I absolutely hated jerky. And until I tasted you guys' jerky at an event. What makes a great jerky?
Well, first off, it's the meat. Most jerky that people are used to eating is generally kind of overprocessed, even ground up into like a flat sheet and then pretty much doused with tons of corn syrup and liquid smoke and all kinds of preservatives. So it's already pretty far removed from any kind of natural animal product by the time you get to it as a store-bought jerky. So for us, it really started out with being about the meat, getting some great grass-fed beef that you knew was going to taste great, and doing as little to it as possible, making sure we smoked it over wood instead of adding like a chemical flavoring, and just using the same kind of ingredients that we would use if we cooked a steak. So it was really kind of taking the approach to beef jerky that we take, you know, when we cook. So
Robert, I have a question for you. I know this is going to be kind of crazy, but are there any other pieces of meat besides beef that could be made into jerky? Do people have like lamb jerky and all that stuff?
Absolutely.
Really? There's salmon jerky is popular, turkey jerky. There's pork jerky.
I'm so new to this jerky thing.
There's soon to be mushroom jerky.
Get out. Mm-hmm. So did you guys have this great childhood experience of jerky, or was it like mine? It was like, what the hell is this?
You know what? I didn't have it with jerky, but I did have it, Mom. My dad's side of the family is German, and they used to take us to these little German butchers in somewhere out in New Jersey somewhere. I don't even remember where it was. And a big part of that food culture is smoked and dried sausages. And so as a kid, that was like the treat. While, you know, they would buy roasts and stuff, they would give us kids like these little dried sausages called Landjägers. And it's basically like German beef jerky. It's flat, and it's a mixture of pork and beef, and it's kind of spicy and garlicky, and it's totally dried out, and but it's really delicious.
What was your experience, your jerky, childhood jerky experience?
Well, my mother had a hard time getting me to stay still and eat dinner, so she fed me beef jerky because I could eat that on the run, and it was nutritious, and yeah, I always loved it.
So is jerky the new cupcake? Are we going to start seeing like...
I hope not.
All these websites. I have a great friend, Nichelle Stevens, has a great website called Cupcakes Take the Cake. Are we going to see jerky sites like that and like boutique stores and people having parties all around the jerky?
I'll tell you what. I think jerky is a lot harder to make than a cupcake. Pretty much anyone with an oven can make a cupcake. But smoking meat for 24 hours and all that goes along with it is a little bit harder to replicate in your home kitchen. So we're hoping that it won't become a massive trend that will overwhelm the scene and then die away. So we're hoping that we're just going to keep consistently making some great jerky that people like. And if people want to do it themselves, we're more than happy to have the...
Here at Hot Grease, we're all about what I call good food. And I define good food as food that is traceable and food that people actually know the farmer. So what's the deal with sustainable beef/meats and jerky?
Well, it's been a big part of what we do because one of the things that makes us different is that we insist on using as local and as grass-fed as we can get. So I had to go and kind of reach out to just about every grass-fed farmer in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania to start out with, just to keep it within sort of the contiguous states to, you know that our products were going to be at least somewhat local. The thing is that we look to possibly needing a lot of meat if we get to the point of demand that we hope to get to. And the nature of small farms is that they only have small herds. So I had to kind of reach out and find a whole network of different small farmers that we can kind of rely on to get us the meat that they have that we'll need from them. And, you know, we look basically for people who are growing pasture-raised animals on small farms that are kind of nearby. And one thing that's good about the meat that we use is that it's kind of the throwaway cuts because jerky needs to be lean and as fat-free as possible. And for cooking, you want lots of fat and lots of marbleization. So a lot of these farmers are happy to have an outlet to get rid of these less popular cuts of meat, which is the eye round and the bottom round. So we kind of feel like we're setting up a great little system where we're putting some demand out there for what's not a popular cut in restaurants, but it's exactly what we need to make our jerky.
So are all your farmers in New York and New Jersey, or do you guys try to go outside of that?
Right now, well, we're just building it up. I mean, we're actually at the point where we're just building our facility to make the jerky. We've just been making it at home on our terrace up until now. So we're kind of transitioning over right now to like a full, legit, street-legal kind of operation as opposed to the terrace smoker we were operating before. So right now we've got about maybe half a dozen farmers who are really excited to help us out, and we're excited to have them. And like I said, we're probably going to just be tapping into these guys, and whoever has product available when we need it, we'll go to that guy. And when someone else has it, we'll go to that guy. So yeah, it's been interesting to kind of build up this network of local farmers. And we're hoping to actually do something extra with that, in that taking all these people and kind of acting as a clearinghouse for a lot of these guys who say they have a hard time, you know, delivering their meat on a weekly basis. So if we have a place where we can store it for them, they can bring it in one time to us, we can get our product, and then we're able to help them distribute their meat. I feel like we can contribute something to these farmers, to their ability to sell their product to people who want it.
So Robert, where are you guys, where can folks find Kings County Jerky as of now?
Well, you can't really find it right now. yes, that was for an event, and we're actually not making it on the terrace anymore.
Okay.
We have a space over here at Meadow and Bogart.
Oh, you guys are in Bushwick, so your facility's in Bushwick. Ah.
And I just, an hour ago, wrote the checks to the contractor, so
today's kind of a landmark day for us because we basically started making this jerky and it got a bunch of attention, and then it turned out we couldn't really legally sell it to anyone. So we've been giving it away.
This is how we do it in Brooklyn, you know?
Until the health department shuts you down. So.
Exactly. So is it going to be retail, or you guys are just going to be doing wholesale?
We're going to do both. We're going to do wholesale and retail. We're going to do direct over our website, where we have a lot of stores who are already interested in carrying it once we're up and running. So we expect to kind of, once we're going, to be available pretty quickly in a lot of places at once. So.
Yeah, cool. It will be a USDA certified kitchen so that we can sell wholesale.
Cool, very cool. But,
initially, it'll be retail.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break and come back with more of Kings County Jerky.
The hours, and I'm counting. try so hard not to care. I try so hard not to know that you're not here. But I'm counting down the hours, and I'm counting up the days. I try so hard not to show this side of me. This side of me.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. Also, check out the really cool videos that we have. Their show video profiles, whatever you want to call them. I know mine is up. Jimmy Carbone's from Beer Sessions is up. All about our shows here on Heritage Radio Network. We are in the studio talking to the guys of Kings County Jerky, Chris Worrell and Robert Stout. So I have to ask you guys a question. I met you guys at the Next Big Small Brand. We actually had the Rooster Group on the show right after the event. How did that experience enhance Kings County Jerky, and what did you get from that?
Well, it was actually worked out really well for us because it kind of happened right at the time that we had come up with the idea to do this beef jerky. And it kind of provided a little outlet for us to actually test it out and see what people thought about it. So literally, like, the kind of the week that we had just finalized how we were going to make this, this contest came up and we entered it, and we kept getting further and further along. And by the end, we made the semifinals, or we were among the five finalists, I guess. And so even though we didn't win the first prize, we did kind of win the audience prize. And more importantly than that, we got to kind of test it out on a lot of tastemakers and food business people. And everyone was just like super enthusiastic and kind of really, really excited about it. So we knew we had something good. We knew it wasn't just like, you know, a room full of friends kind of blowing you up. We knew that it was a wide group of people. People who said they didn't eat meat. People who said they didn't like jerky.
Do you guys remember?
I do.
Literally.
I do indeed.
I hated jerky growing up. I thought it was disgusting. It was like,
we hear it a lot.
It was a weird texture. And you, I think it was you, Robert. You were like, oh, no, no, just taste it. I'm like, I was hooked. And really, I tried another company after that, and I didn't like it. So I really, really, I cannot wait till you guys open. I'm really excited about that.
Well, you're gonna get a nice
big gift basket. I'm really, really excited about that. So besides having jerky as a snack, what other dishes or even cocktails can folks incorporate jerky? Beef jerky, sustainable beef jerky.
I would stay away from incorporating into any cocktail.
No cocktail. Well, everyone is doing the bacon thing.
Yeah, the jerky is a tricky thing because it kind of demands your full attention because of its chewy nature. That kind of, if you stick it in some other kind of food item, it seems like it might be a tricky thing to work around. We have thought about making jerky lettuce and tomato sandwiches with avocado, so sort of like bacon, but we'd probably have to do it extra thin for it to really work, because I think the jerky would just stand out too much in a sandwich. But we're thinking about it. You can also do it into little slivers, which we've done over salads. Like in Thailand or Vietnam, they do like a dried beef where they slice up little slivers and sprinkle it over a salad. So I don't think there's a lot of options. I think it really is kind of like a standalone food product, so I can't give you any stunning recipes for things to do with beef jerky.
So what do you say to my friend like Marty here, who's vegetarian and doesn't eat meat at all? Can you make a tofu jerky, or do we just need to convert him?
Well, we're gonna go and make a mushroom jerky for Marty. So we're gonna do portobello mushrooms. We're gonna do big strips and keep it as close to the way we make the jerky. Just smoked mushrooms with the same kind of spices and marinades that we do, and we think people are gonna like that because a big part of it is the smoke. And I think once you smoke a vegetable, it kind of imparts that meaty flavor.
Yeah, it's nothing like a great smoked or grilled mushroom. Definitely.
Yeah.
Hot Grease listeners are always interested in what and where our guests are eating, such as CSAs, community supported agriculture. If you shop at the farmers market, or are you going to Greenpoint Food Market or any new restaurants, particularly farm to table? Do tell some of your favorites or where you've been or had to eat lately. Robert, darling.
Oh, my goodness. Well, geez, we don't really get out much.
Yeah, you know, we actually cook a lot. So we do a lot of our shopping at farmers markets.
Okay, what's your favorite one?
The park, the park's up. The Grand Army Plaza one is pretty great. And the Union Square one, I work in the city, so I'm near that a lot more than I am the one in Brooklyn. Markets.
Did you guys go to New Amsterdam Market yesterday?
Yes.
Ah, great.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have my mother in town, and so I took her to
Hello, to Mother the Jerky. So, guys, you guys do have a blog, and you're on Facebook as well. So, any of our listeners that are listening, how can they find you and get updates on your opening?
The website is craftjerky.com. And the Facebook page is linked on the website. It's a crazy long URL, so I never remember what it is. But if you go to the Craft Jerky page, you can link to the Facebook from there.
Yeah, that's Craft Jerky.
Cool.
And we'll be keeping people posted now that things are rolling out at the new space. So we'll be updating a lot more now that we actually have some tangible stuff going on.
Cool beans. Kings County Jerky. Thank you for coming on Hot Grease today. I look forward to getting my huge gift basket of of jerky, and then send me some extra mushrooms so I can make sure Marty gets some.
All right. It's coming your way. Thanks a lot,
so
Nicole.
So we're going to take a short break and come back with What's Organic About Organic.
I began as my mother's bright idea. Short time later, they all watched in awe, and all of a sudden I'm here. She was also my father, so I hardly got to see her. I was afraid of the dark, but it was only because I was a believer. I was told when I was 2 years old, she swore that I would be special. I took a good look around and thought, don't worry, mama, the city's gonna help you.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is being sponsored by Acme Smoked Fish. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. In the studio, we have the creators behind What's Organic About Organic. It is a great film documentary that opened this week in New York. I had the pleasure of seeing it on Friday. Shelley Rogers, Marty Mesh, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
You're a Southern girl?
Southern girl.
Me
born
too.
Oh, really?
Marty's a Southern boy.
I have to tell you the story about Marty. I was at the Georgia Organics Conference in Athens, Georgia, which is my hometown.
Uh-huh.
And the last day of the conference, was it the last day, Marty? I was actually getting a cocktail, and Marty was at the bar, and we started talking, and he was like, yeah, I'm doing it very casually, Marty. Not until I left and like Googled you and did some research. I'm like, you were like, yeah, I'm doing this movie. I'm doing this film very casually. And then when I go to the screening, I see you. I'm like, Marty, cool, huh?
It was cool.
Small.
It's very casual.
It's a small, small world. So we're all from Georgia. So tell me about What's Organic About Organic, and how did the project, how did you birth the project, Shelley?
Oh, well, let's see. It started out kind of as my master's thesis question, and it's now the title of the film. And it started out kind of as an academic paper, actually. And then I ended up taking a course in the film school as part of my master's degree. And then one thing led to another, and I applied for a grant after school and got a lot more resources together and collaborators, and it became a real movie.
So not only, Marty, you are a character in the film, you're also a co-producer, correct?
Correct.
How did you get involved? How did you meet Shelley?
She walked into a meeting where I was in Washington, D.C., and with camera. And, of course, I was curious as to anybody that walks into the meeting with a camera. And she asked if she could interview me. And And so
It was a room full of like middle-aged white people, mm-hmm. and I looked over and, you know, I did a like scan of the room and I was like, that guy's got a story. I want to talk to him.
So I did the interview and of course took an interest in the subject matter of the movie, obviously. And
so, Marty, I know that you probably have either seen or heard about all of the films, all the documentaries that are out about organics, about our food system, about our evolving and changing food supply chain. What makes What's Organic About Organic different from the other films out there?
You know, to their credit, I think other documentaries have raised issues and concerns about the industrial food system. And, you know, one thing that we hear, you know, the movie Food Inc., which is had gotten some widespread viewings, you know, people walked out and said, man, I felt like I never wanted to eat again. And I hope that What's Organic About Organic kind of offers the alternative, the solution to some of those problems with the industrial food system, and why organic agriculture, we believe, is part of the answer, both in food systems and for environmental health, certainly for farm worker and farmer health, and ultimately is good for the environment and good for folks.
Could you guys tell me a little bit about some of the farmers that are featured in the film? Marty, you're featured. You're actually a farmer in Florida. And there are some other farmers here in New York, some urban farmers that are doing some great stuff in the city and some upstate as well.
Sure. And actually, if I can just tack on a little bit to Marty's responses, the other documentaries about food, I think, are awesome. You know, there's a proliferation of all sorts of different angles and stories. And I think that storytelling is really important to get people to understand it on a visceral level, not just in a logical way. But, the other films that I've seen don't really, you know, they kind of throw these words around like sustainability and organic and you know, what does it all mean? And so I think that the farmers in our film really kind of articulate what's behind the movement and what the principles are and why we should care, you know. So some of the farmers in the film, Jim Gardner, he's a farmer upstate. He's a dairy farmer, organic dairy farmer. He's been doing organic since before there was even a market for it. He and his family are really, you know, pioneers in terms of natural medicine, mm-hmm. and treating cows.
Oh, that was the daughter that was in the film.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, the premise to the way they operate in organic dairy is that, you know, you're focusing on health, promoting health rather than treating disease. And so, you know, if your soil is healthy, your forage is healthy, your cows are healthy all along the chain. And so that's really I think an important piece of the message. Andy Grant out in Colorado, he's has the largest organic CSA in the country.
Oh yes, I saw that little piece in the movie.
And his his whole perspective on farm worker rights and treating people with dignity is, I think, another piece of the organic movement that's important, not necessarily codified in the regulation, but equally important. And Marty does a lot of work on that. Do you want to tell us about the Agricultural Justice Project?
Well,
should I keep going?
John and
okay. So John Gorzinski is a farmer here, and
oh, you're running down all the farmers. So,
Well, I'll tell the local ones, okay. At least. So John Gorzinski sells his beautiful produce in Union Square. Yeah. And Classy Parker is up in Harlem, you know, really getting the community.
Do you know the name of the
Five Star Gardens?
Okay.
On 121st between 7th and St. Nick.
Okay, cool. I have to check her out. She was a great character in the movie.
Yeah,
great.
She was able to come with she came on Thursday. It's all a little bit of a blur, but I think she came
on the panel on Thursday.
Yeah. So speaking of Harlem and communities of color, what I like about the film and your website and the movement is you're just not showing a film. You guys are having or attaching a piece of action to the film.
Right.
What would you want the everyday person or the person that lives in a community that lacks access to food, to CSAs, to farmers markets, when they look at What's Organic about organic, what would you want them to come away with?
Well, I think that, you know, the piece of the environmental piece of the puzzle is an important one. And, you know, there's multiple things that come into play when you talk about food justice that you know, it's a complex, you know, web of stuff to figure out, you know, and access is certainly one of them. But I think the environmental piece of it is also important, you know, for all communities and you know, social justice for the farm workers. You know, I mean, we want everybody to be able to eat organic food, but it's important to think about, you know, about the whole chain, not just, you know, the eater.
What are your thoughts?
And I would add that, you know, my hope is that people can be responsible for their own reality and whatever situation somebody finds themselves on, they can decide to take action or participate in a democracy or in government, in a public process, and in food choices. Every day we all, like I said in the movie, we all eat every day, and the choices each of us make, we could help bring about the future we want through our purchases,
Totally.
Through our purchasing decisions. And even low income people, you know, can get together and have a community garden, can get together and figure out how, what in their neighborhoods or their communities they want, how they each can contribute to a more sustainable food system locally.
So what's next for What's Organic About Organic?
Well, this week was, you know, we had 9 screenings in 1 week. And
yeah, you actually had Patrick Martins, the owner of Heritage Foods USA and Heritage Radio Network, was on one of the panels.
Right.
Quite a few people that have been on the show, ironically.
Yeah. Well, and actually, you know, we did a live webcast of all the panels.
Oh, really?
We did. And so, you know, we have the tapes and we're going to digitize all that material and put it on the website. At some point in the future, I'll email you. And yeah, so but the next steps are really to kind of continue this our Screen and Green campaign. This premiere was the launch of our nationwide Screen and Green campaign, whereby we hope to collaborate and partner with organizations and individuals all across the country who want to host community screenings and screenings at educational institutions all over the country. And we've gotten several requests so far. And also we're hoping to partner. Well, part of the Screen and Green campaign, the concept is to not just have a screening, but also some sort of either awareness building, like a panel discussion, okay, or volunteer activity that goes in conjunction with the screening. So that it's not just this sedentary act of watching a movie and walking home, but it's, you know, watching the movie, gaining some inspiration and some knowledge, and then taking that and putting it into some sort of concrete action or connection, at least with the folks in people's backyards who are doing this work, you know.
So people that are listening, we have people from all over the country and a few people actually outside of United States that listen to Hot Grease. How can they find out more about the film and the movie? And Marty.
Yeah. Marty, you want to tell us the website? Do you know it?
whatsorganicmovie.com.
Yeah.
So go straight to the website. I see you guys have Facebook, Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Flickr.
You have everything. And Marty, your work, how can folks find out? Because I think you're huge. You're an instrumental part of telling the story of the movie, of the organic question.
Well, the nonprofit organization that I run is Florida Organic Growers. It's FogInfo, FOGINFO, so foginfo.org.
And you actually had some of your watermelons in Savoy. This weekend.
We got them in several different restaurants: Savoy, Back 40, Per Se, Bobo,
uh-oh,
Casa Mano, several of the Batalics.
High five, I can't even Marty.
Remember. Otto. Uh-oh. Yeah, and the cafe where the theater is, Dom Hudson Square. So
cool.
And we even had one watermelon to kind of cap off the evening last night after our panel with Marion Nessel and Urvashi Rangan and Dennis Derrick.
Wow.
So it was fun.
Cool. Well, guys, the folks, the producer, the brains behind What's Organic About Organic, thanks for dropping by Hot Grease. I know this was a last minute thing, and I really appreciate you coming by Hot Grease, and I wish you well. I know people will be talking about this movie all over the country. So good luck. And
can
let's
I add
keep
one more little piece?
Sure.
We're also seeking outreach partners.
Okay.
So, you know, on our website where it's, I think it's up there, but it will be up there soon if it's not already. You know, we
it's up there. Current.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. So the outreach partners page, we have three different levels of partnership for folks who either want to, you know, participate with promotional support, monetary support, or both. So, you know, it's a small grassroots operation, so we really need all the help we can get in garnering resources and energy. So if anybody knows any companies out there who want to partner with our message and help us get the word out, we would welcome that.
Thanks for your interest.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Folks, you hear it. Let's support organic. Go to organicmovie.com and get all the info. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And listeners.
Thanks for coming to the show.
Thank you again for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.